hands. At this time, let us give due honor and respect to the hearing and reading of God's Word. The reading will come from Proverbs chapter 4, being reading in verse 20. Proverbs chapter 4, I'll begin reading in verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil.
Thank you, Brother Kent, for that reading from the book of Proverbs, setting the stage for our lesson this morning. Thank you so very much for being in our worship assembly. We hope that you brought your Bible with you, your notepad, that you may look into the Word of God today, and in such a setting as this, to meditate and to think upon the holy God of heaven and our lives here on this earth and how they are in so very many ways blessed by Him. I'd like to introduce a subject to you this morning that I've been thinking about for quite some time. This you may view this possibly as something that would be very highly beneficial for our young people, and I hope so. But I think those of us who are older could profit from this as well. And I hope in the days ahead, this spring and this summer, to talk to you some more about some things that are going on in our society to help you as a young person to find your way to please God. I want to talk about the subject of mass media this morning as a general type of introduction to things that influence us in this life. By mass media, I mean the mass media are diversified media technologies that are intended to reach a large audience of people by mass communication. The technologies through which this mass communication takes place are various, but you are very familiar with them. Broadcast media, such as radio, recorded music, film, movies, television, transmit their information electronically a lot of times. Public speaking is a form of broadcast media. There is print media that uses a physical object to appeal to the masses or make a statement to them or provide information, such as a newspaper, a book, a pamphlet, or comics. That media is used. There's an outdoor type of mass media that's used. You see them when you drive down the highway in the form of billboards, signs, or placards placed inside or outside of commercial buildings, sports stadiums, shops, and buses, flying billboards, messages attached to the back end of an airplane that flies around a stadium advertising something, blimps. The Goodyear blimp, you're all familiar with, skywriting. And there's digital media that comprises both the internet and mobile mass communication, websites, blogs, internet-based radio and TV, and the organizations that control these technologies, such as television stations or publishing companies, are also known as mass media. So you're familiar with that already by living in this society. I want to suggest to you this morning that nothing has any greater power over your life, for good or bad, than mass media. And it can be a most dangerous false teacher in our society. We are being secularized. We are being influenced to lay off all influences of the Bible or anything religious by most of the messages in our mass media today. We are being encouraged to reject spiritual considerations. We're being misled by mass media. We are being mistaught by mass media. And for those reasons, it's important for us to recognize the serious danger that mass media presents not only to ourselves as adults in a functioning society, but also to our children as we strive to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Media has contributed to very many Christians falling away from the faith. Jesus showed how the attitudes of society can affect disciples when he said, "Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold," in the Gospel of Matthew 24 and verse 12. So how do we lock out these harmful influences from our lives? How do we keep the false teachings of mass media and the bad influences of mass media from destroying our souls? That must be a consideration that we give attention to in our lives in the year 2013. How do we control? Do we enact laws to prevent things, or do we come up with a set of rules? Our scripture reading this morning from our text, I think, provides a pretty good basis for us. In Proverbs 4 and verse 23, the admonition to watch over your heart with all diligence. One of the ways that we can watch over our heart with all diligence is to be very careful and understand the influences, both the ones that are good and the ones that are bad, from mass media. Watching over your heart with all diligence, because from it flow the springs of life, is not an easy thing, and it's not done very quickly. It takes diligence, but you can control your own heart. The influences of mass media require that the Christian controls his heart. What sort of influences are we talking about? What are some things that mass media brings to us that are not good? One of them, right off the bat, is bad language. Bad language pervades mass media. Proverbs 4 and verse 24 says this: "Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you." And when we cuddle up to mass media because it contains filthy speech, we're allowing that to come into our hearts. We're allowing this false teacher to pattern our speech. When you see a text message, for example, OMG, that's not a good thing. You've all heard filth that is pervasive in our mass media. Even if you do not associate with people who curse, there is cursing that fills mass media that has an influence on us. The way you learn how to control your heart is to start with tongue control. James, in James chapter 3 and verse 2, said this: "If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is able also." He is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. You start with the tongue. And when you hear from mass media bad language, you know right off the bat that these people have given no attention whatsoever to controlling their tongues. What are some other influences besides bad language? I think inordinate desire. Lust is used in two different ways in the Scripture. Lust is a word that just means a strong desire, and it can be of any kind. It can be a good desire, or it can be a bad one. Most of the time, the warnings that are given in the pages of God's Word deal with the bad kind of desire. Proverbs 4 and verse 25, let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Even commercials contain strong sexual suggestions. Why is that there? Have you ever given attention to that or thought about that very much? Pay attention to what you see. Control the heart. Control what you think. That means there are things that you ought not to see. There are things that you ought to keep your eyes away from. And that takes control. We live in a society that is sexually permissive. Do you know what I mean by that? I mean that people permit other people to do things sexually that are regarded as sinful in God's sight. And this without the bat of an eye. And this without any suggestion that there's anything wrong, that it's a perfect expression of freedom. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Now, the media would have us to believe that all those restraints are just too ancient. Those restraints are not in keeping with modern-day enlightened thought and higher education. And that's foolishness. God has said from ages ago to avoid sexual immorality. And Paul goes on in this letter to Christians, 1 Thessalonians 4, to say that each one of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. You mean if you're a person who's sexually immoral, you're not possessing your body in sanctification and honor? Yes, that's exactly what Paul meant. He goes on to say, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God. Sexual immorality is characteristic of people who don't know God. Don't be that kind of person. Paul says, we want you to be the kind of person that knows God and possesses your body in an honorable way. Covetousness is another form that pervades our society. Luke 12 and verse 15, Jesus said, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. And that means the forms of greed that we're encouraged to have by our modern day media. That wouldn't be a good influence for it, would it? Media stimulates us to want things. Commercials that you see, for example, are trying to convince you that your life is not cool and you're not with it and you don't have the good things that you could have unless you buy our products and use them. Isn't that what they're about? Usually, most of the time, media is there to stimulate us to want things. On the other hand, when we read the words of Christ, He's encouraging us not to regard our lives and the quality of our lives on the basis of things we possess. So there are two different meanings. One of them we must embrace, and the other we must be very careful about. We shouldn't judge ourselves on the basis of the things that we possess. Another danger that we have to deal with that relates to this strong desire or lust is what we might call vicarious living. Excuse me. Vicarious is a word that means experienced or realized through imaginative or sympathetic participation in the experience of another. Vicarious living, to portray and to do things in your mind to indulge in daydreaming or to fantasize. Now think about this in reference to movie plots. Movie plots that deal with a subject, the main plot, for example, is getting revenge for a wrong. And you become wrapped up so much in that story that you're actually pulling for the guy who's going out taking his own personal revenge for someone who harmed his family. You want him to hurt, maim, and kill the one who was guilty of doing that. You can get yourself caught up in that so much that you have those kinds of feelings. And that you are, in your mind, indulging in that fantasy or that daydream. Yeah, hurt that person. Kill that person. And the same is true with other plots as well. You may be pulling for someone to conceal a crime or to hide criminals away to commit murder or rape, robbery or drug use. And these type of things manipulate your emotions when you become involved in them. And they create sympathy for evildoers. That's vicarious living. Vicarious living has also been a subject of most recent newspaper articles, especially when someone goes into a grammar school or high school and murders several people. The subject of video games and the violence in children's video games is immediately brought to attention of everyone by the media, and the question raised, what type of influence does that have? When children are encouraged to act out in their own minds violent expressions of hatred and putting enemies to death, what type of influence does that have on a person? Jesus said, I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. That's vicarious living. That's fantasizing. That's what we're talking about. That's the subject. Watch the path of your feet, and your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Turn your foot from evil, is the admonition of our text in our lesson today. Paul wrote to the Ephesians and said, but immorality or impurity or greed must not even be named among you as proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. He goes on in verse 7 to say, therefore do not be partakers with them. Now he's telling us, in terms of our own modern situation, isn't he saying you better beware of what the contents of your mass media are? Because they influence you. And they take you in a direction that is directly opposite the one that the Lord admonished for his children, for his believers. Well, okay. That kind of sets the stage and the setting for the dangerous influence that's out there. How do we deal with that? How do we overcome that in our lives? What thought must we give to that if we're thinking about the influence that this has on our children? Those are good questions. I'm glad you asked. Practical ways. One thing I'd like to suggest to you that will help. I'm going to give you a dozen things. Now, apply these to your situation. Think about them in your situation and see what things might be of help to you. Number one, measure your media time. Just as something for yourself to inform yourself. Exactly how much time am I spending with mass media every week? Just ask yourself that question and do your own little experiment and just measure and see. Harold Comer did a survey just among Christians almost 20 years ago, probably before, many computer time really took off with people. But he did a survey just among Christians. Now, just among Christians. And that survey, one of the questions in that survey was, you log in every time that you turn the television on and start watching it, and log in when you stop. And just see how much time you spend watching television every week. Did you know that this survey that he did among Christians now resulted in the average person watching 23.5 hours of television per week? And you know, most all of the people who were given the results of the survey were very surprised by that number. You know, if you think about just the time that you come to assemble here at this building, that's anywhere from 1 to 4 hours per week. 23.5 hours per week in media time. Which one of those two do you think will have the greatest effect on you? Think about that. Measure your media time. Okay? Number two, consider the effect that media has on you. Just think about it, is all we're saying. What effect is it having on you? What effect is it having on those around you? Does it make you a better person spiritually, or does it make you weaker spiritually? People are influenced in how they think about issues due to the selective nature of what media publishers put out there. You know that already, don't you? Whatever the media publishers decide and choose and pick for public consumption is what you're influenced to. What about the things they reject? What about the things that they won't put out in mass media that might be a good influence on you? Those might be withheld by them. They make the decisions. Most adults will agree that media, for example, is more immoral today than it was a long time ago. Ask some people that have been around for a while, and they'll confirm that fact for you. Most will agree that they tolerate things today more than they would have years ago. Why? Has God's word changed and allowed more toleration for evil? Or has the influence of mass media caused us to maybe unknowingly change our position on things? So consider what effect media has on you. Third, think in terms of what message is being sent. What is, for you and I, it would be, what is the religious message that is being sent? If you're a fan of Star Trek and you make sure that you watch a lot of Star Trek, you might be influenced with the message of evolution. Man is going to evolve into higher life forms. You know, that message is that's a religious message that's there. Or if you're a fan of the movie Star Wars, you might be influenced to think that the New Age philosophies or pantheism is the right thing to believe. May the Force be with you. The New Age movement is a Western spiritual movement that developed in the second half of the 20th century, and its central precepts have been described as drawing upon both Eastern and Western spiritual and metaphysical traditions and infusing them with ideas of self-help and motivational psychology, holistic health, and all kind of things like that. Pantheism is the belief that everything composes an all-encompassing inanimate God, or that the universe or nature is identical with divinity, that sort of thing. What about pro football? Does that send a message? You know, whatever you whatever you allow mass media to come into your senses, just think, what is the message? Because mass media play a significant role in shaping public perceptions on a variety of important issues, both through the information that is dispensed by them and through the interpretations that are placed on that information. You know that if you watch the evening news at night. They also play a large role in shaping modern culture by selecting and portraying a particular set of beliefs, values, and traditions, or an entire way of life or a lifestyle. What lifestyle has the media thrown in our faces over the past 10 years to force down our throats and get us to change our views on? It doesn't take very much thinking to figure that out, does it? Now, fourthly, ask. When you think about what message is being sent, ask, what do I think about that message? What is my view about this message that I'm being impressed with? What do I think about writers and producers who would use a sexual message to induce me to buy an automobile or to encourage me to drink a particular brand of soft drink? What do I think about that message? What do I think about the message being sent when I find myself cheering for the hero who murders bad guys and succeeds at sexual conquest? What do I think about that? Know your own reaction and be alert to it. That is all I'm saying. If we do not think about the message, then it will have a subtle effect on us, and it will gradually sink in, and it will have a longer lasting effect. I'm just saying, think about it. What is it? If you think about the message and react to it, it doesn't have that deep effect that it could have. Fifthly, become angry or vexed about messages containing error and false doctrine. Is it right to get angry? It most certainly is. If you're angry for the correct reason, I would think. In Psalm 119, David twice, in verse 104 and in verse 128, said, I hate every false way. And Psalm 119 is an entire long, very long psalm exalting the Word of God. And twice in there he says, I hate every false way. Did Jesus demonstrate any kind of hatred when he went into the temple and fashioned a scourge or a whip out of cords and drove the money changers out and turned over their tables and hollered at them saying, do not make my Father's house a den of thieves? And twice he did that we know about from the gospel writers. Did he demonstrate any kind of anger in that? He certainly did. But it was righteous anger. In 2 Corinthians 7, in verse 10, Paul writes to them after they had cleared up a problem that he advised them to seek repentance from an individual. And he said, behold, one earnestness, this very thing, this godly sorrow has produced in you what vindication of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what avenging of wrong in everything you demonstrated yourselves to be innocent in the matter. Notice how repentance had changed them. Notice the example of Lot in 2 Peter 2, verses 7 and 8. And if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. Lot was a man who was vexed, and he became angry and upset about conditions that were around him. We must be the same way. The media's message is, you shouldn't be down on homosexuals. We offer hope to the homosexual that he might repent, that he might change his lifestyle, that he might live a holy and righteous life before God. We should be upset with the seriousness of that type of sin. And we should be upset with our mass media for trying to cram it down our throats. And they're portraying it around and glorifying it like it's a natural thing and everyone ought to experience it. Just think about that and become angry when you know they're telling you something that's not right. Number six, reduce your media time by reacting. The first reaction that you have, of course, is mental. It is what you think. Then you take action. Change the television station. Turn off the radio. Turn off the television. Stop a subscription to a magazine that's coming into your house, that's influencing you in the wrong way. Those are steps that you can take to reduce your media time, but you have to react. When you have indignation over something, you have to react to it. Number seven, come up with your own list of things that might relax you more. People say that, well, the whole reason that I spend any time whatsoever with the media is because it's relaxing to me. There are other things that are relaxing too. Surprising to most is when studies are made by people who analyze these things, they came up with the conclusion that spending more time with the media doesn't really relax you at all. As a matter of fact, it may raise your blood pressure. It may cause you to be edgy and nervous. It may cause you to lose sleep at night. So, change that. Walk. Go for a walk. Talk to a friend. Read something good. Spend time in prayer. Young people, go to a gospel meeting. Meet other Christians. Associate with godly people. Help someone. Tackle a job that you've put off, that you feared. You know, make a list of your own things in your own situation that will help you relax more. Gradually shorten the dosage. Don't take in so much TV, radio, newspaper, computer, or cell phone. Then it will have a less effect on you. There was a 13-year study, and results were published in a national newspaper years ago, a study of about 1,200 people, where their conclusion was that viewers often end up feeling worse than before they turned on the television. They were less relaxed. And psychologists found that the longer they watched, the more drowsy they became. They became sad, lonely, bored, and even hostile. We handle new technology by learning how to handle it, not just let it into our lives to control everything about us. If you're spending 3 hours with media, try to reduce that. You know, you can. You can take chunks away from that. And I'm not going to tell you, you know, what I'm not going to issue some kind of number and say, now, if you watch television longer than this, you're not right. You know, that's not my role. I can't tell you that. And please don't go away and think that I'm saying something like it's a sin to watch television, because I'm not saying that. Media is reporting these findings, by the way, and you can research them on your own too. Take greater control of your media choices. That will help. If you try to take control and you can't take control, then I would suggest to you that you have an addiction. And now you can overcome that, but it's just going to take a little bit more effort. For example, if you're reading 3 romantic novels per week, I would think that you probably have an addiction. You might be hurting your marriage. You might be hurting your image. People get caught up in stuff. There is a time for escape. There is a time to get away in our minds from the pressures of working life, raising children, being diligent about every responsibility that we have. And it's good to vacation and relax and get away if you can. That's good for you. But too much of that escape or escapism, the habitual diversion of the mind to purely imaginative activity or entertainment to escape from reality or routine, can lead to fantasy and be very destructive for our view of reality. So take greater control of your media choices. What are some practical ways to take control? If you want to see something on television, a great thing that you can do is record it and watch it later. Because what that will allow you to do is fast forward through the commercials. Most of them are ungodly anyway. Most of them would make my grandmother sick, I guarantee you. But eliminate that wasteful time by cutting that out of your media choice. It shortens the time that you spend with media and it removes ungodly commercials. Practical things. Use audio tapes, CDs, as opposed to listening to the radio. You're just there hearing whatever they put out, whatever it is, good or bad. You have better control when you find those alternative ways. Look for better control. Look for better choices. Look for better messages. Learn to speak up. Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. You can be a person who is presumptuous now, and you can be cocky, and you can go up to someone and say, you ought not be watching that. You know, now, what good is that going to do with someone? You know, that's going to put them on the defensive, and they might just punch you in the nose, depending on who they are and under what circumstances you're saying that. But if you say things that will cause people to think about it a little bit, have you ever thought, you know, go to that person and say, have you ever thought about the messages that are being sent by what you're watching? Have you ever given much consideration to that? Then maybe they'll think about it. And maybe they'll realize, and maybe that will help them. It will cause people to think. But if you don't say anything, they may not ever think about it. And then finally, set a goal to cut back your media time. Many found that they could get the same information that they were getting from mass media in less time. Many found they could stay informed even after reducing media time. Paul wrote to the Ephesians and said, making the most of your time, for the days are evil. We're interested in cutting wasted time out of our lives and doing something more productive and good for other people. When you cut back on wrong messages that are there, it'll change you. I guarantee it. It'll change you if you cut back on wrong messages. It will change you into someone better. It will motivate you. It will excite you. And things that are important will become important to you. I guarantee it. So use these things to your benefit, please. And consider the dangerous things that are in our media today. You can control your heart and your life. Take steps that you know are in the right direction. You can live as a Christian. And there's power of walking in the light. And we can help you be a Christian today if that's your desire as a believer. If you're willing to repent of your sins, to confess them, to confess Jesus Christ as the Savior, to be baptized in water for the remission of sins, you can leave this building a Christian if you're not one. You can leave in a right relationship with God. And He will bless you and strengthen your life so that you can do the right things and you can make the right choices. If we can help you with that today, we'd be delighted to do that. There's no better group of people to be in the midst of and want to make your life right with God, because everybody here is praying for you, pulling for you, will do anything they can to help you walk closer to God when you leave this building than when you first came in. And if we can help you, please let us know by coming up while we stand and sing.